The Jackson, Michigan-based 303rd Military Police Company just returned earlier this week from in and around Kandahar, Afghanistan, where they spent 9 months training Afghan police. While there, the soldiers, who are mostly from Michigan and other Midwestern states, trained their Afghan counterparts in all manners of community policing. The company also experienced at least one so-called green-on-blue attack last June, in which soldiers in the company, including Platt Weinrich of Henderson, Michigan, not that far from Lansing, were severely injured. And joining us by phone right now from his home in Burton, Michigan, right next to Flint, is a member of the 303rd, Lieutenant Sean Nelson. Welcome home, Lieutenant.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Appreciate it, and we commend your service. How long were you in Afghanistan?
We were there actually on ground for about 9 months.
And you were in Kandahar, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you describe that city for us? I mean, people hear about Kandahar all the time. And I think people's common image of it is just a big, teeming Asian city, is it, or what?
Yes, population is very dense. A lot of civilian vehicle and pedestrian traffic. And during peak times, it takes quite a long time to get from one point to the other just because it's so congested.
You were involved in training Afghan police and security, and I see you were involved in one really curious incident. I think our listeners would find it curious, where several shops were broken into and things were taken, and it was a breaking and entering, basically, a B&E. And this episode apparently helps describe how our idea of policing and the Afghans' idea of policing differ. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. it's really easy for people to, misinterpret Western policing and, policing in the Middle East. Basically, what had occurred with the B&E, the locals were very upset that the Afghan police didn't have any suspects, that they hadn't caught anybody, and so that they complained. And to, I guess, appease the elders, if you will, they took the detective, that's his area of responsibility, and they actually detained him at the headquarters as a punishment for, quote-unquote, allowing that to occur in his area of responsibility to appease the locals because they didn't have any suspects. And obviously something like that wouldn't happen in the United States, but that was just one example of how policing there differs from here.
Well, you do hear accounts about how much influence elders in the community have. That pretty much captures it, I guess.
Yes, very much so. I mean, that's more so than the courts. I mean, they do have an established court system, but still traditionally they'll have, the jirga or shura, which is like a gathering of elders to basically any grievances or decision points that need to be made in the villages and whatnot. They trust and respect the elders' decisions, which obviously is a lot different than our form of society.
Did the way that unfolded, did that surprise you at the time then, or did that not surprise you?
Well, I spent quite a bit of time before I actually deployed there. I deployed to Iraq in 2006 as well, so I'm familiar with Iraq and Afghanistan cultures. There are some differences, but there's a lot of similarities as well. So I had done a lot of research and a lot of reading to, familiarize myself with their culture. So it didn't really surprise me something like that happened.
Last year, there were a lot of stories about the so-called green-on-blue attacks where American soldiers were attacked by the Afghans. They were assigned to train in June of last year. A member of your company, Platt Weinrich of Henderson, Michigan, was injured in one of those attacks. How did that incident affect the way you went about doing your job?
Well, I mean, obviously, It makes it difficult for us, or it made it difficult for us, I should say, obviously, because in any kind of relationship, you have to have trust. So that did affect, some of our trust. However, we still have a mission to complete. And I had developed a strong rapport with a police chief that I was partnered with. And because we were working together on a daily basis, because we had developed that rapport, when we sat down and talked after the incident occurred, he expressed his condolences, and basically I reaffirmed our commitment to them and them to us, and we understood. I mean, I explained it to my soldiers, and I understood that You can't take the actions of a few individuals and apply that to everyone. I mean, you're talking there's thousands of Afghan police, and of that, there's a very small fraction of people that have actually, you know, committed green on blue. And actually, during that attack, there was, you know, several of our soldiers were wounded, but the primary target that day was Afghan police officers, not us. We were secondary. So they suffered casualties. A few other individuals were killed and wounded as well. So we both had losses that day.
Did it add an awful lot of tension, though, to the experience, that one incident? Or was that were you already predisposed to expect something like that?
Well, there was all, I mean, because there had been green on blue attacks before we got there, you know, our level of vigilance and you know, just a situational awareness was heightened anyway, just to be as safe as we could. It basically fell on the leadership after that incident occurred, because it would have been very easy for myself and for our soldiers, especially with us having people wounded, to generalize and clump all the Afghan police into one category. So it was the responsibility of myself and the other leaders in the company to talk to our soldiers, to remind them that, again, this was the act of a few individuals that actually weren't Afghan police. They were infiltrators that committed the attack, dressed in Afghan uniforms. So it was just on us to make sure that our soldiers understood that it wasn't representative of the Afghan police as a whole.
Now that you're back, even for only a few days, Lieutenant, how do you feel about the work you did over there?
I think overall, I set three very simple goals. Something like, you know, trying to develop and train the Afghan police to be able to take over security for themselves cannot be accomplished in a 9-month tour, and it takes several years of development. I understood that before we even went there, and I had set three goals for myself and my platoon. You know, those were to bring everybody home, which I was able to do. That was the most important thing. Have cultural sensitivity, so that there wouldn't be misunderstandings, to avoid future green on blues, and to make sure that we maintain a strong relationship with our Afghan partners, which we did, and to set up the unit that replaced us for success, basically so there was a level of continuity, so they didn't have to start from scratch. We gave them a really good product so they can continue to work on what we had, you know, the foundation we had established. That's all I could ask for, and because I met those goals for myself and my platoon, it was a success in my eyes.
How does it feel to be back in Burton?
Very good. I've only been home since Saturday afternoon. This is my third deployment, so every time is a little different. Probably the biggest contrast, my last deployment, my wife and I went through together. However, our daughter was just a baby at the time. Now she's 5 and a half, and she's in school. So every time has been a new adjustment, but slowly but surely, I'm getting back into the swing of things.
Sean Nelson is a lieutenant in the Jackson-based 303rd Military Police Company. Earlier this week, he and the rest of his company returned from Afghanistan. Thank you very much, Lieutenant, for taking the time to share your experience with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me this morning.